problem, Mr. Whitefellow Law. It's written on paper, and it always changes. The Blackfellow Law is written in the stars, on the ground, and on the countryside, and it has never changed.
In the documentary Puduparri and the Rainmakers, director Nicole Maher tackles the delicate and often painful process of cultural maintenance in a traditional Aboriginal community. Set in the Great Sandy Desert region near Fitzroy Crossing in northwestern Australia, it follows Tom Puduparri Lawford, a young Wangajunga man, and his attempt to learn about his elders' deep spiritual relationship to their traditional land, its secret waterholes, and the mystical rituals that are said to have the power to bring rain. More than a decade in the making, the film is enriched by footage of arduous, sweltering treks into the desert where the invisible is made visible as elders find water metres beneath the ground and they call out to spirits across the horizon. The film's advocate position is clear, but there's still room to show Puduparri's struggles with alcohol and violence. And given that Tony Abbott, when he was Prime Minister, referred to people in this area as making lifestyle choices, the film is a significant qualification and a persuasive rebuttal. When I spoke with director Nicole Maher, I was curious to know if she saw any parallel in this story with her own personal concepts of place and belonging as an Asian Australian who spent a lot of her time living across the globe. Nicole Maher.
That's an interesting question. I don't think so. What I was attracted to is the connection to country, to a place, to a home that they really knew in their very being that it belonged to them. You know, I've lived in New York and I've lived in Australia and I've lived in Singapore. I always feel out of place. So when I met them and I travel with them to their country, that, you know, I was imbued via them with this great feeling of, you know, this is really home. And I understood for the first time what home meant.
What about the magnificent artifact that is this wonderful painting that we see them make that becomes this really important part of the story for the last part of the film as it gets sort of exhibited in camera and then, you know, is transported back very carefully to the community and so forth. Tell me about what this painting represents and how this important part of the story came about.
Mm-hmm. It was painted as evidence for their native title claim. So the area covers five language groups, and so they all painted their water holes and their stories on the canvas. It's about 8 meters by 10 meters, and it's an absolute priceless artifact. But to the community, when they stand on it, it transports them to country. So it actually takes the place of being able to go home. So that's how they view it. And in my film, you can see how the old people, when they stand on their country on the canvas, they cry, and they're crying for their relations that have gone back to the waterhole and who they will join when they die. And so it's a very profound piece of, it's not an artwork. It's sort of hard to explain. It's part of their spiritual thinking.
It's interesting the difference that you see in the film, that your film actually draws this sort of dichotomy between the way that the handlers, the workers at the gallery in Canberra will deal with this artifact. They give it the white glove treatment, of course.
Yes.
And then when it gets back to the community's interaction with it is so different. And it illustrates this point that it isn't a work of art to be sort of regarded from afar. It's this thing that they interact with in a very sort of material way. They touch it. They stand on it, as you say. They cry.
Yes.
Over it. Yeah.
And I think that it also illustrates the two worldviews that are at play there. You know, our worldview about art and something that we would view as very precious, and, you know, we would hang it up in an art gallery and handle it with kid gloves. And the Aboriginal community, whose country this is, treat it as their country. You know, they really interact with it and stand on it and talk about it and, you know, they let their dogs run on it and they wear their shoes on it and they dance on it. It's very significant as a replacement to them for not being able to go to country. You know, that's why it's so important, I think, to the community, and why it is still in the community and waiting for something to happen with it.
Now, the focus of the film is on Tom Putupari Lawford, who happens to be the brother of the renowned actor Ningley Lawford, who's currently on screens in Last Cab to Darwin.
Yes.
But he is a very interesting character because he finds himself between Western culture, I suppose, and traditional culture, and he's very much trying to be a custodian of traditional culture for future generations. But he also has his demons, and it's revealed in the film that, you know, he's had struggles with alcohol and at a certain point was abusive to his first wife. How difficult is it, that tension as a filmmaker, wanting to reconcile the sort of ugly realities that might exist around a person at the same time as wanting to sort of celebrate what that person's doing? Was it difficult?
Well, it was difficult for me to ask him. I knew as a filmmaker that I had to do that, that I had to show both sides of the dilemma that he confronts in his life, or the audience wouldn't understand, you know, the struggle that he has to go through. Because I think a lot of films, they might just show the ugly side, which is the alcoholism and violence, or they show the beautiful traditional side. But I think if you put it together and you can follow one person through the trials that they have to go through, then an audience will have an empathy for that character. And, you know, basically we're all humans, and you know, he has been redeemed by his culture, but he had to go through a very difficult struggle to get there.
Did you finish this film feeling optimistic about...
I did.
Tell me why.
Well, because I've been going up there for, you know, 13, 14 years now. And when I first went there, I had a very stereotypical idea of what remote communities were like. And I came across the culture and saw that, you know, he was leaders coming up, being taught by the old people, and how strong and beautiful that all was. There's a lot of hope, I believe, in Fitzroy Crossing and in the community, and the will to want to keep going with the traditions. And it will evolve. It's not going to stay the same because things have changed. They don't live in the desert anymore, but they are determined to keep going back and looking after the country and sharing it with their family.
Filmmaker Nicole Maher. Putupari and the Rainmakers releases in Melbourne this week with other cities to follow. Except Sydney, where exhibitors apparently are yet to commit. So some of you may have to wait until next year for the DVD.